Good morning, everyone. I hope that each of you had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you took time to reflect on the many things that God has done for you and your family, and let him know how thankful you are for how he's blessed you. And I also hope that you had the time, if you hadn't seen family members for a period of time, that you let them know you cared about them, and that for those that are around all the time, that you let them know that you love them, and gave them big hugs and let them know that they were appreciated. Having said that, whenever I come up here, it's humbling and it's an honor to be in this situation. Sometimes you feel like you know what you're going to say, and other times you have the butterflies that you wish you could have a baseball bat to keep them at bay. This is one of those times that I think I have the butterflies that I wish I had a baseball bat to keep them at bay. Before I begin, I'm just curious, how many people in the audience are veterans or ever been in combat or near a combat situation? Okay. For your service, I'd like to thank you. The lesson I'm going to share today is called Through the Eyes of a Soldier. I'm hoping that for those of you have been in combat, it'll help something with the healing. For those of you who are near a combat situation, you can empathize with me in some of the things that I'm about to share. And for those who've never been in a combat situation, that you get something from this and hopefully helps you to grow closer to God in Jesus Christ. Through the topic, as I said, is through the eyes of a soldier. The subtopic is called On the Road to Honduras, or My Personal Experience, or a scripture verse that we can use for this: a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. For me, when I was in the Navy, I was recently transferred to a Naval Mobile Construction Battalion in 1988. And in late spring, they were deployed to Puerto Rico. And as a corpsman, my responsibilities were handling the sick call, treating the people who came in with all kinds of illnesses or injuries. And it was like, I'd been there for a few months, and it was like any routine day. And one afternoon, as our medical department was in the process of cleaning up, we received a telephone call from battalion headquarters and telling us that our liberty was secured and that nobody could make any telephone calls outside of the base. We were informed that our battalion was going to go to Honduras to serve as a backup for the 82nd Airborne and the Army Rangers. I can remember at that moment in time, we were all very quiet because it's one thing being in a service, one thing having routine activities. It's another thing when you realize you could actually go into a combat situation. And when you're in that kind of situation, the reality hits you like running into a brick wall. You go through a whole gamut of emotions. And I can remember that as we were packing all the equipment to get ready to, packing all the equipment in our ambulances, and we were getting ready to go to the armory to pick up our 45s. We were being issued several vials of morphine to use in case anyone was seriously injured or wounded. It's a very, very scary time. Our unit, after we packed our stuff in the ambulances, and we went to the armory and we picked up our 45s and the magazine clips, we sat in our ambulances waiting for the rest of the battalion to pick up their weaponry. The M16s, the M60 caliber machine guns, the mortars, everything. And they packed their their equipment onto the 2.5-ton trucks. And we left our camp base, heading towards the tarmac, like a slithering snake going down the road. When we arrived at the tarmac, we saw, I think there was like 3 or 4 C-130s, big planes, that they were loading the equipment and putting everything on the tarmac. And for that whole time, what the normal activity that you hear with people on a day-to-day basis, it was like being inside a cemetery, because nobody wanted to say anything or had any desire to talk. You were just in the process of trying to collect your thoughts. I mean, the 24 hours that we were on the tarmac waiting to get the final orders that we were going to go to Honduras, it's like you go through a whole gamut of emotions. You go through wondering, is this the day that you're going to die? Is this the day, is this the time that you're never going to see your family members again? Is this the time that are you going to be in a situation where you might have to kill somebody, and could you do it? Is this the time that if you become injured, are you going to come back in one piece, or are you going to come back crippled? You go through everything. And people who say, who've been in that situation, say they're not afraid. They're lying to either themselves or to someone else. But anyway, when you go through these gamuts of emotions, it comes down to two things. You realize that you have a job to do, and in my case, my job was to protect, help the people who might have gotten wounded or in the combat situation. And my other job, and to help fulfill the battalion's mission, but also to look out for one another, to make sure that you did the best you could so that you didn't have to feel remorse or regret that when the time came, that if something were to happen to that person, you would not feel bad about. And the short time that I was there, being a Navy corpsman at that small medical facility, I got to know a lot of people. I didn't know them well. I knew a lot of acquaintances. I knew some that became good friends. I had this one guy named Mark who was a welder, worked in Alpha Company. And his job, Mark was a tall guy, gentleman. He was a very generous individual, and he had a good sense of humor. And I remember one time Mark had had asked me to do something for him, and I said, well, when I get around to it. And the next day he brought me this round disc, and I said, what's this? And he said, here's your round to it, I'll get to it, no more excuses. There was another guy, Jeff, who was an admin clerk at headquarters. And Jeff was a short, skinny guy. Jeff was very intelligent, and he had also had a good sense of humor. And he knew I liked to read, so every time the USO would bring in a box of paperbacks, or some organization would send our unit a box of paperback, I'd be one of the individuals that he'd allow me to have first dibs in choosing the books that I wanted to read. When you're in this kind of situation, you develop a camaraderie. You become to the point like brothers. When I was at the tarmac going through this whole gamut of emotions, I kept wondering, well, how would I feel if someone like Jeff or someone like Mark got hurt and I couldn't take care of him, or I wasn't able to take care of him? I said, well, I was going to give my best and just do my best, focus on what my responsibilities were, and finally, after going through that period, I was able to come at peace and say, well, it's in God's hands. Whatever happens to me or any of those individuals, then whether I live or die, then I just hope I can be a good steward for God at that moment in time. Well, fortunately, as we were waiting there, and everyone else is probably going through the same gamut of emotions and feelings, we were notified that our services, the mission had been canceled because the 82nd Airborne and the Army Rangers were able to take care of the problem that was occurring in Honduras. And needless to say, there was a huge sigh of relief enjoy going in that camp, because anyone who's ever been in that kind of situation, it is not a pleasant experience to be in. And as I was working on this lesson, I like to use sometimes visuals. And I was thinking, what a circumstance or situation can people imagine what it's like to be in a very difficult, scary environment and how it was handled. And I think about the Normandy, the men who were in the landing crafts in the Normandy invasion on June 6, 1944. Shakespeare one time in his play, King Henry V, had this verse, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother." As I was preparing this lesson, I thought of the time that others have had strong bonds under difficult situations, and I thought about those men who were in the landing crafts on June 6, 1944, during the Normandy invasion. And I wondered, having gone through this situation I shared with you just a few moments ago, what were many of these men thinking minutes before the landing crafts hit the beaches, as the artillery shells were going all around the area, hearing machine gun bullets? What were these, as they're hearing gunfire ricocheting off of the landing crafts? What were these men thinking when they saw their comrades dying as they were leaving the landing crafts and heading on to the Normandy beachheads? The situation had to be terrifying. Because if you think about it, these men had become more than acquaintances. They'd become more than friends. They became as brothers to one another. And they ate together. They shared one another's hopes and dreams together. They trained together. And many may have fought previous battles together. But when those landing craft doors lowered, I'm sure they had come to peace in their own minds, and whether they would live or die, each man knew they had a mission to fulfill. And as long as they kept focused on the mission and focused on trying to take care of one another, that they knew that was their immediate purpose in life. So how does that relate to us? If you think about imagine the situation of men in a landing craft getting bombarded, getting machine gunned, and then they're being thrown into a dangerous situation. What if our church was like that landing craft, not a physical one, but a spiritual one, where as soon as we leave the safety of this building, we also are under fire. Not physical fire. There's not going to be somebody shooting us down, hopefully. There's not going to be somebody with artillery hitting us. But when we leave this church, we have an enemy, a common enemy, and that's Satan. And what if Satan, as soon as we leave this church, is hitting us with all kinds of spiritual artillery or spiritual machine gun fire? How do we handle that? This section I entitled "The Church's Normandy Invasion." Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17. If you think about it, our bonds we have through Jesus Christ must be more than just acquaintances or just friends, brothers and sisters. Our bonds must get to the level that we would be willing to lay our lives down for one another because of the common relationship we have in our belief in Jesus Christ. Our church has to have that mindset of a soldier landing, like the soldiers had in the landing crafts and on the Normandy beachheads, meeting a common enemy. Satan will will confront us in many ways with through our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. He will use many tactics to neutralize or spiritually incapacitate us from helping others become right with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our war is against the satanic forces that exist in this world, and we cannot take our Christianity lightly, because if we do so, like soldiers who do not take their responsibility seriously, then we not only jeopardize our own lives, the lives of our comrades, but also we give the enemy an easy victory. As Christians, if we do not take our faith seriously, if we do not take the attitude that every time we leave this church, we are in a sense like soldiers hitting the spiritual beachheads of the city and the surrounding areas. And just like every soldier is specifically trained to carry out a specific function in combat, God has given each of us specific talents, situations, and areas of responsibility to spread and share his word so that others also may be freed from their sins and can also be given opportunity in having a deep and personal relationship through his Son, Jesus Christ. And, I mean, it's easy when we're in the situation where you don't see someone firing at you all the time. It's easy to think, okay, we can let our guard down, but we always have to keep in mind that we are in a state of war, spiritual war, and we can't afford to let our guards down. We also need to learn to use our skills and talents inside and outside the church to draw others closer to Christ. While in church, we need to actively find ways of how we can encourage one another, stimulate one another to good works. Because once we leave the safety of this building, our faith in Christ will be put to the test. And like the soldiers who are leaving their landing crafts, we are going to be dealing with all kinds of things that could be that we don't expect and could be very terrifying. But we need to use our specific skills and talents for Christ's glory and help those burdened, enslaved by their sins, be shown the avenue of how they too can be freed of their sins through Jesus Christ. Finally, on the road to victory, just like after the forces went through the beaches on Normandy and were able to overtake the German forces, they had their mind on the road to victory, to go to Berlin. Our road to victory should be this particular theme in mind. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. John 15:11-12. When we can get to the point as a body that we can love someone more than life itself, and would be willing to do anything for that individual, people outside the church can understand seeing someone helping another. Especially if there's just an acquaintance or friendship, people outside the church can understand that they see others helping others who they are related to. But do you think they can understand when someone is helping another to the point of potentially laying down their lives for that individual? It's practically unheard of. So before we leave today, we need to ask ourselves the following question. Is our relationship with Jesus Christ like that of an acquaintance, like that of a friend, like that of a brother, or like that of one that we would willfully lay our lives down for because we know and believe he is the Son of God, and only through him can we be saved and pleasing to God? The choice is ours to take. This is the end of my lesson. I hope that it's had some impact on your lives and in some ways will help you to grow closer to God through Jesus Christ. And if at this time there's a need for anyone to feel to come forward for the church to pray for, or there's a concern they have, please do so as Roger leads us in singing. Thank you.